Anyone else can wander in, I suppose. So it's really good to see all of you here. And I hope that at the end we have a chance to kind of get to know each other a little bit more. So if any of you were in Catherine's session yesterday, she talked about testimonies, and there's a difference in salvation testimonies and discipleship. So today you're going to hear kind of a discipleship testimony. I'm going to do things a little bit different because I want to share with you a journey that I've kind of been on for the last 5 years that I'm learning a lot of things throughout. So before I get started, just to let you know a little bit about me, I grew up at Cypress Valley Bible Church, which you heard Bob Bryant talk on ecclesiology earlier. I grew up hearing him teach, not only him, because he's not the only pastor. You will get in trouble if you... No, not in trouble, if you'll get called out on it. So I was privileged to just grow up in that. So I have a solid foundation in free grace, which I'm super thankful for, because as I've gotten older and gone to different women's Bible studies and things, you find out very quickly that a lot of people don't have that solid foundation and are left with a lot of questions and confusion and doubts and things. So I want to start, though, by telling you about this journey. And it started about 5 years ago whenever I had my first baby. This is my third. I just had my first baby, and so I found myself in this new role of being a new mom and with a young wife, you know, things like that. And I was not coping well at all with the life change that that brought along. I found myself being really anxious because they sent me home with this baby, but no instruction manual for it. And so I was just, you know, I had a lot of fear about how I was parenting, how my baby was doing, you know, things like that. And so I was also full of guilt because I was pretty sure I was doing it wrong because no one gave me an instruction manual. And I was also feeling guilty about that I wasn't maybe being as good of a wife anymore, and because I was so focused on this fear that I had about being a new mother. I also started to feel resentful because because it was, you know, probably his fault, you know, for something. My husband surely had to be, you know, his fault for something or the way I was feeling. And ultimately, I was just feeling really lonely because I didn't have a good group of friends that were going through similar things, and I wasn't plugged into a church at the time. So I felt alone. So it should come as no surprise to you that I was also not praying regularly. I wasn't, you know, I think praying regularly involves us confessing our sins and thinking about renewing our minds, and all of those good things is why that's a healthy spiritual habit for us to have, and it's something that I had just kind of let go of. And I wasn't seeking God's truth. You know, I wasn't going to his word for wisdom or renewing my mind there and viewing life through the lens of God's truth. I was viewing it through the lens of all that anxiety and guilt and all of that. So, mind you, I'm a believer. I wasn't doubting my salvation at all during this time.
Oh, come to the
come on in. There's Nick. We got this floor. Up here. Well, he's got a chair there, too.
No, I'm good. I'm already here. Once I'm down,
Back up, back up. So, anyway, so moving on, I was also not in fellowship with other believers. Like I mentioned, not only did I not have a group of friends, but I didn't have a group of like-minded believers that I was involved with. I wasn't serving in a church, you know, things like that. So wasn't able to share these struggles I was having with anybody. Kind of a weird place to put it here.
This is a good problem to have, okay?
I'm not going to tell my doctor about it.
I'm good.
Okay, so for those of you that just walked in, just to give you a little update, I'm kind of walking you through this journey that I started about 5 years ago after having my first baby, and I wasn't wasn't doing well spiritually or just emotionally, you know, all the things that women get to deal with when your body goes through these certain things, and just, but also not being there spiritually had a huge effect on all of that. So all of that to say, I wasn't in fellowship with God at that time, I don't feel like, you know, looking back on it. But that means I was in a perfect position to grow. I think that's something so beautiful about God's grace. You know, we're still His, even when we let go of those healthy spiritual habits and fall out of fellowship, things like that. So, in case you can't tell, I'm an introvert. this is not my comfort zone, being up in front of people talking. But I was so desperate at that time to find a group of friends and things like that, that I decided to start going to a Bible study that was happening in my town, a women's Bible study. And this is like a huge Bible study. It happens all over the world, and lots of women are in on it. Men even, I think, have groups, and children and things like that. And they're known for their no-nonsense approach at looking at Scripture, and they try not to bring in other denominations, you know, things like that. They just want to study God's Word. And that sounded really good to me at the time, to find a group of friends and where we could just dig into God's Word. I knew they probably weren't coming from a free grace perspective. Pretty sure it was going to be a bit reformed, but they were studying the Gospel of John, so I thought, oh, pretty sick. That should be pretty good. But I ultimately wound up pretty discouraged and frustrated, because while the teaching was pretty good, and it was so impressive, this whole program that they had and everything, the discussion really heard a lot of confusion coming out from these ladies, and it was really saddening too. And I was trying to be, you know, a voice of truth there and encourage, but you know, when you're just a participant in a group, you really like take over and you know, and everything. So that was rough, and I just realized, you know what, this may not be the right place for me, and I should have remembered, you know, Paul's words from Corinthians, when he said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, but communion has light with darkness. Now, surely there were believers in this Bible study, and, you know, I think that was probably there, but at that time, I needed some solid, like-minded friends to grow and fellowship with, and I wasn't finding it in the group that I was in there. So, thankfully, I had that firm foundation in truth, so I didn't get to the point of, you know, Paul was talking to believers, warning them about false teachers coming in and not forming these strong relationships with them. So I didn't have to deal with that, but there is a warning there, and something I think that we should remember. Mm-hmm. When we join Bible studies, when we're looking for that deep fellowship with other women, we need to make sure that we're all grounded in the same truth, or that we're all at least seeking that, you know, same truth. So, but it did help, because I was starting to shift in my spiritual walk. You know, I was no longer just totally consumed by that anxiety. I was realizing I need to be praying. I need to be seeking God's truth. I need this fellowship with other believers if I want to be in fellowship with God. So I started looking elsewhere. Well, I had been looking elsewhere, and then I thought, why am I doing this? I have a free grace church. It's a little bit of a drive. It was, you know, my husband and I, before we had started having kids, we had tried finding a church in our town that was free grace friendly. So, you know, there wasn't a free grace church in our town, but we thought maybe we can find a free grace friendly place to get involved in, and, you know, maybe help with the teaching there. I don't know, just get involved and maybe shift it. But we wound up really discouraged and really burned out. And so we thought, why are we doing this? We know that Cypress Valley Bible Church is in driving distance. It's, you know, a couple towns over, but it's worth the drive. So we had started going back there, but we weren't really getting plugged in just yet. And so by the time I'd gone through all this Bible study stuff and everything, I realized it's really time to get plugged back in there, even if it is a 40-minute drive, you know, for us, it's worth it. And so I knew that, okay, so we started going to Lord's Supper again, which Bob Bryant shared about in an earlier session, and we joined a small group, and but I still wanted more personally to grow, because those aren't really, I guess a small group is something I can participate in, but, you know, with Lord's Supper not being able to speak, you still grow a whole lot just by going and listening, but with the struggles that I was dealing with just as a young mom, I needed to talk to somebody about it, and I needed to get some wisdom from some other women. You know, so of course, he was like the Titus 2. Paul specifically mentioned to Titus that older women need to be having fellowship with younger women because us younger women really need your wisdom and encouragement. And the older women, I think, also gain something from sharing that wisdom and with them. So I knew there was a Bible study happening at Cypress Valley. I was pretty sure I was 40 years younger than most of the women there. But I learned if you really want to freak somebody out, ask them to mentor you. So I thought, well, maybe they'll let me come to this Bible study, and whether they know it or not, they're going to mentor me. I need this help. And, of course, they welcomed me with open arms. I was not the only young person in there. I just didn't know that there were some other young moms going. But they were so loving and encouraging. And there's a couple of ladies in here who are a part of this Bible study that I'm talking about. But anyway, it was totally worth the drive over. And yeah, they let me come in. And so I found that wisdom, like Titus, like we read about in Titus. These ladies had, most of them had been through what I was going through, and they made it out on the other side, you know, and they were very encouraging. I remember when my daughter was going through the terrible twos, Sherry Bryant, actually, Bob's wife, she kept telling me the best advice I ever got was, there are only two until there's three. So got lots of encouragement. And I think the biggest thing that I loved about this Bible study was the truth. These women were willing to struggle for the truth. We were studying James, and you know, if you've ever studied that, that's kind of heavy stuff there, but they were willing to spend the entire week just on one verse because we were going to find the truth. We were going to understand it, and we were approaching all of Scripture from a three grace lens, as I like to call it, you know, asking questions like, is this verse about salvation or is it about discipleship? What's the context here? What does this mean for us? So it was just amazing what a difference that made. And ultimately, I found that fellowship that I was looking for at this Bible study. And not only just in the Bible study, but they go to lunch afterwards. And then we got to really talk about, you know, what's going on with your life and you know, just do kind of that, what we think of as fellowship, is just meeting together over a meal and laughing and talking and sharing our life. So Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with gratitude in your hearts. And just like that's a really good sum up for what was happening at this women's Bible study, and it made a huge difference for me in my spiritual life. You know, I went from not praying regularly, not seeking God's truth, not in fellowship with other believers, not in fellowship to God with God, to I wanted to pray regularly and I wanted to be seeking God's truth. I was eager to find that, and I was enjoying this fellowship with other believers, and the best thing is being back in fellowship with God. And I think that God uses His Spirit, uses His people, and through His Spirit works to help us all grow, not only closer to each other, but closer to Him, with that unity we read about in Ephesians. Anyway, so another verse that I wanted to read to us is, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. So there's just something about us gathering together where we can really encourage one another. So there was kind of a small group of women within this women's Bible study that was also feeling a similar kind of encouragement in their spiritual walk as I was, you know, that had been in a similar situation or maybe something different happening, but it was just like being impacted by this. And we got to talking and thinking, well, how can we help, how can we help more women grow? How can we bring more women into this? Because I think so often in churches, we don't have these, you know, designated Bible studies, things like that. Especially older women and younger women, the only time we really see each other is passing in the lobby. You know, we don't have a lot of time to really interact with each other because I think a lot of churches do their small groups and break them up by ages or seasons of life kind of thing. And so it's easy to just accidentally miss out on those mentor-type relationships. So the smaller group kind of formed within the Bible study, and got to talking about wanting to take this to the rest of the church, and we thought, well, what can we do? How can we help solve this? Because not everybody can come to a Wednesday morning Bible study. You know, it's just not doable for everybody. So we thought, well, maybe we could start a mentoring program, and we can kind of pair people up who are interested in this within the church, but realize that is a lot to fight off. That's a huge thing to take on. And so we thought maybe that's down the road. But right now, what is our goal? Our goal is just to get us together so that maybe these relationships can start to form naturally, you know, between people. So we had this idea of doing a luau on a Monday night. We were just going to do like a fun little event and feed everybody and maybe play some games or something to get women to just start connecting with each other. And we thought, you know, maybe 30 or 40 people will come and we'll just have a good time. Well, more than 30. We had close to 100 women who came to this. And we were shocked. But it showed us, okay, clearly there is a need. Women are desiring this all over the church. And so we had a lot of fun, and we tried to be super intentional with this while still making it fun. So when women came to sign in, you can see in that top right-hand picture, you had to sign in based on your age, what year you were born, and we put you at a table purposefully with people who were not born that year. But we mixed people up together, so you weren't just coming to eat with your buddies you already knew. We wanted to, you know, to purposefully sit with people you don't know, even though we know that was, you know, made people uncomfortable. But we had table leaders at each table who were being intentional about making sure everyone was involved in the conversation and, you know, knew what was going on throughout the night, so could just kind of act as a host. And we had an awesome meal that Sarah made, put together. And we had games that kind of mixed you up a little bit with other people, helped you learn a bit about other people in the room. And we also had a lady who shared about a mentor relationship that really impacted her life. And we also shared the gospel because we wanted to have any chance to get. So we had a lot of fun, and it was a lot of people really seemed to enjoy it. So we thought, okay, let's do another one. And so in the fall, we did another one, and we moved everybody outside. It was freezing cold, but we had blankets and hot soup and things for people. But with each event, we tried to get a little bit more, you know, intentional about getting them connected with each other. So I think at the fall event, our activity, you know, they got to decorate a mug or something fun like that, but you had a tea bag that you wrote your contact information on and just something else, maybe like a verse or a prayer request or something, and you dropped it in someone else's mug. Just, I don't know, just, we were just trying to think, what can we do to help people get connected more and more? But we also learned with these events that it takes a lot of volunteers to pull this kind of thing off. And you really get to know somebody when you're seeing tablecloths together for 2 hours. And so we realized, okay, volunteers are a good that's an even better opportunity to get to know somebody is when you're volunteering together, when you're serving together. So we made sure of any task we gave to somebody that it was always to somebody we were giving that to at least, and, you know, maybe in groups of three or four. So we were starting to close this gap at Cypress Valley. Obviously, I don't know how you ever actually close that gap, but we were beginning to deal with it at least and letting women get to know each other more and start building these relationships. But what about the rest of the world? You know, this is just Cypress Valley Bible Church in Marshall, Texas. And so this is a couple of friends and I who were visiting. They're both Free Grace women, and we're all connected through doing some kind of international missions together way back, you know, before we had babies on our hips. But all of us are, you know, have growing families, and so we're just in the stay-at-home stage. You know, we're not in the, we can just fly off whenever and go be involved in missions that way stage. But we were talking about how we still want to be challenged to stay in God's Word. We still want to be encouraging each other spiritually. Because right now we're doing missions from our home, you know, and that might be to our kids, but it also can still be to the rest of the world. It's just, we just got to be at home while we're doing that. And so we started a private Facebook group and invited some other Free Grace women who we thought were, you know, maybe in the same stage and dealing with some things. And soon this blog began, Free Grace Women. So I think this has only been in the last couple of years probably, but we started with, you know, just three women talking in a room, and now we have 16 women who write for the blog. But we're reaching, we have, I think, something close to 150 or something like that subscribers. So those are people who are getting the blog regularly. But this blog is really just a way to share the Free Grace message and a place to give women a voice to share that through their experiences that they go through. And for a lot of the people who write for the blog, this is a big learning and stretching and growing experience because they haven't done this kind of thing before. And they don't have theology degrees, but they do have a solid foundation in Free Grace and a passion for sharing a clear gospel. So the goal is to share it whenever possible in the blog posts and things. So we've had the blog going for a little while, and, you know, super inconsistent at first. We're, you know, kind of working on that. But then COVID happened, and that opened up a whole new array of possibilities because everybody's home. Nobody's getting to gather together and have that fellowship. And the ministry that my husband and I work for had just finished building a video studio that we had access to. So we started making as much as we could in the video studio and doing it live so that people can interact while it's going on. So one of the things that we started was a women's Bible study that a number of you, I think, joined in on. And to me, that was just the craziest thing because we're doing the video live, but we have also live discussion happening. And all of these women that I didn't know existed are Free Grace women, you know, are joining in on this Bible study and interacting with each other, connecting with each other, building new relationships. And we're getting to hear your stories. We had women just video themselves giving their testimony or something like that, and we could show that to help us all get to know each other a little bit better. So fellowship happens even across thousands of miles. Now, obviously, it's not as high of a quality fellowship when you can't be in the same room with each other and you can't be just doing life next to each other. But I think it does, can still happen even across thousands of miles. So just to remind you where I was at 5 years ago. You know, consumed with anxiety and guilt, and I was feeling resentful and lonely. And I think in retrospect, we can look back sometimes and see God's handiwork a lot easier than we can when we're in the moment of Him working. But I'm convinced that God used His people to help a struggling mama get back in fellowship with Christ and really make a huge difference. Because fellowship, it makes a difference. It's so important for us. So if you don't have fellowship, I encourage you to find it. And if you do have fellowship, I encourage you not to keep it to yourself, but to invite some other women in, because I guarantee you there are women in your circles around you who desperately need this fellowship. And it can, and I think God uses that to, for his people to help us grow. So I probably like talked way too fast.
We have 25 minutes.
Whoa, we have a lot of time left. But that's kind of good. Okay, so everybody, well, we brought more chairs in. I tried to give everybody a book when you came in. Anybody who didn't get a little booklet? Okay. Yeah, I have some extra ones.
A legal
bag.
In that
Target
bag.
I never find anything, so watch
that. Find the milk. So, I gave y'all those because I want you to, I'd like us to brainstorm together now, but I also want you to take it with you and brainstorm some ways on how you can help get connected with other women. You know, how can we help this fellowship happen? But I guess before we do that, I want to ask this question of how have you already connected with other Free Grace women? Because some of you might have some connections that some of us can jump in on, you know, that we can share. Or I'd love to hear stories about at your church what women are doing.
I'll give them a head.
Well, let me, I'm not taking over, but I'm saying,
okay,
for your husbands, just say, bring the whole bag.
Yes. There's stickers. Or if you'd like one without a sticker, you can have one. Yeah. We also have some more pins, too.
I got a whole box of notebooks. She's got it.
Well, does anyone want to share how, maybe what God has done in your churches or in Free Groups that you have fellowships happened?
Well, it's mostly connected, but in my case, it wasn't another Free Grace woman, but it was something that I really, through COVID, God used it. I think I had it actually way back at the beginning before anybody knew how to get tested or anything. But I was up sick at night because I couldn't lay down, and I was coughing all the time, and I was reading Facebook, and this old friend of mine from childhood that I'm friends with but really try to stay away from was posting things like, I am not okay. So I messaged her that I would pray for her, and I started praying for her, and she said, call me, and so I called her, and we started praying once a week on the phone together. And the neat thing that it turned into after a few weeks, I said, have you ever read the Bible? She's like, oh, sometimes I read a verse. I have a Bible on my nightstand. Well, would you be willing to install this app? And I sent her a link to the YouVersion app. And we have now, I think we're on a day 185. We're reading through the New Testament in a year together, just a chapter at a time. It's been the neatest thing just to see God's Word be alive and active in her life. We read one chapter a day. We both comment on it, so we know that each other has read it. And to see it start to bear fruit with her life, she took the time to ask one of her neighbors to read the Bible with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she took a box of food to a family that she noticed was having a hard time affording food. And to me, it's been a really neat opportunity for almost a mentoring relationship. Mm-hmm. Just to say, hey, I didn't have to do anything, right? I'm reading the Bible anyway. I wasn't on that particular plan, so it's a little bit of extra work.
Yeah.
But God's Word has really been living and active, and given me the opportunity to grow through seeing his Word work in a little bit of a really lightweight mentoring relationship. I've never gotten together with her in person.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's just all done through a weekly phone call and this app.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
My sister-in-law, she lost her baby 2 years, a year and a half ago. And I knew she was having a hard time, and so we did the same thing. I said,
hey, let's start with the Psalms. We'll read one chapter a day, and we can discuss it. And I kind of just said, I need the accountability because I do. I'm not good about reading regularly. And so we finished Psalms, and we're still, I mean, like, now we're just alternating between Old and New Testament, one chapter a day. And there are some days that, you know, I'll get, like, 3 days behind and then catch up. But it's been challenging just to read stuff I would normally read and discuss, you know, what we see.
That's really cool. So y'all are discussing what you're reading.
Yeah, we'll read a chapter, and then we'll, like, throw out what we think or stuff that jumps out.
That's neat.
Well, I've definitely been blessed by these two young ladies. I'm lucky to be their friends and go to church and be involved with their ministry. But I had a friend from high school that is a Facebook friend, and she's kind of the cat lady, single lady, and was really sad. And she's somewhat pessimistic and was just really putting a lot of stuff on Facebook that she didn't have any friends and she felt so lonely. And so I reached out in a more active way for her, and anyway, it just, everybody's lonely, everyone has lonely moments, and everybody needs somebody, and she's coming to visit me now, all the way from Ohio, so,
wow.
And she was so desperate for a friend, that and she's a believer, but, you know, and so we talk, not every day, but pretty regularly, trying to encourage her. And yeah, women are lonely, they're so lonely.
And you know, I think all of this applies to men as well. And we just have a lot of more emotions and feelings and things that we deal with. And so it can, I know for myself, sometimes it can be harder to filter the truth through all of that. And it makes it so much better when you can talk to somebody, especially somebody who's been through it and can remind you of God's truth. And so that's really cool.
Krista, I think, you know, with Kayla, my daughter-in-law, who writes with love, she and I are part of a Bible study, and it was a matter of us just starting to disciple one-on-one, just a couple of women, and sharing some of those free grace principles and the truth of Scripture from a free grace perspective, and that has grown into a group of women who are now teaching other ones. And so it wasn't necessarily going out and finding someone who's already free grace. It was biting the bullet and saying, okay, if I know this, I need to share this with somebody else. And teaching other women, and now there's an accountability group within that Bible study. Well, wait a minute, what did you mean when you said this? No, that's not right, is it? And kind of, so rather than finding somebody who's helping to grow people into that, which then created the accountability for us.
And is yours online?
No, in person.
No, I can't handle the technology.
Okay.
I got one online to finish up in the spring, but I can't handle it right now.
It's been something interesting to see, too. You know, different women are okay with that, and they're comfortable with that, and even prefer that, because you don't have to put your makeup on this time and discuss. But I think there is something about being there with each other in person that's important.
Can I share something quickly? And I'm sorry for my English in advance because I'm not a native English speaker, so if you want to understand me, that's fine. I just wanted to share something that there are people who want to be mentored, but there are also people who want to be mentors. And that's really amazing how God brings these people together sometimes, you know, because sometimes, you know, there are some women in the church who want to mentor somebody, but they can't consciously hear anybody say, hey, I want to mentor you. I see you need that. Kind of like, let me try to do that. So there was a story. I'm originally from the Belarus, it's a Slavic country, and I lived in Moscow for 11 years. And God brought me to the language school to teach my native language to Americans who came for mission work there. And I was... back then, I was looking for a mentor for, like, over, like, 2 years. Really, I couldn't find a mentor. Like, it's Moscow. It's a huge city. Like, you know, it's like half Texas, you know, but in one city. But I couldn't find anybody. And then I was praying, like, God, like, why? I want to have somebody. Where is this person, you know? And I, like, came to my woman and say, hey, you know, I need a mentor. And she said, oh, I'm so busy, I'm sorry. I'm going to finish your work and, you know, this. And then I prayed for another woman. And then she already had, like, 2 or 3 women. And she didn't have time for me. And I was just really so sad about that. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, where's my mentor? Come on. And once I had a student, she's American, and she came from my class to study Russian with me. And once we were talking about, like, because she's a Christian, about, like, spiritual, like, all these things, and she said, I say, Vicky, what's your gift? What God gives you? She said, my gift is to teach women. But now she's like... But she says, but I need to learn this language first because I'm not confident in how I speak, you know, to mentor somebody in Russian because it's a hard language, and, you know. And I said, Vicky, as soon as you're ready, can I be first for you, you know, because I knew her long before that. She's a God woman. But anyway, and so, and then she said, look, okay, let's try, but you're going to help me. And, you know, and it was challenging for her, but she wanted to do it, like, because she said that God gave this gift to me. I want to share with her. So, and she became, like, really the best mentor I could ever imagine for myself, really. And she was struggling a little bit with her Russian, you know, because it's hard. And I was, should be some patient with her, like, have some more patience, because sometimes it's just like, I have no idea what you just said. I'll write it down and I will try to figure it out. But she's still, like, it's been like 5-6 years. She's, and she, we now live in different countries. But she's still my mentor. So there's always somebody who wants to do that for you. You know, no matter how, like, what language do you speak, how old you are, you know, like, it's really cool. So, if anybody needs to learn Russian.
Yeah. My situation is a little different because we were missionaries in Honduras for 36 years. So we've been back now for 10 to the U.S. But there, I mean, nobody has heard of free grace, but they were new believers. So my husband and I taught them what we feel the Bible teaches, which is the free grace method. But then we came back to the U.S., and we do not attend the free grace church. Mm-hmm. We attend the church that has been behind us, you know, all these years, and we felt responsible to the church. And, I'm asked to speak at a ladies' retreat, a lead Bible study or something like that. So what comes out of my mouth is the free grace message, and I was not prepared for it. Wait a minute, we don't all agree with that. And I remember the first time I talked to this group of ladies was just the difference between believing and walking as a Christian. You know, it's not the same thing. And a lady took me aside later and said, you know, we all don't agree with that. And so it's been hard. And I still, the mentoring thing is good. I've had different younger women ask if I would spend time with them and mentor them, and I have them over and we talk. Well, then I feel complete freedom. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard, and I don't feel like I'm connected with other free grace women. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., in Honduras, yes, mm-hmm. all of them. Mm-hmm. But here I don't. And I was really excited to find out about this blog because I didn't know it existed, and I didn't know there were other free grace women around. So this is
really cool to hear, because, you know, that's, I think, a lot of us probably found that to be true, with, especially when we did the Bible study, because we were all online at the same time, mm-hmm. interacting about the same topic, and a lot of these women had a similar story of, I don't know any other women that are free grace around me, and it gets lonely, so...
I'm the only one in the Bible study that, wait, I want to know what this means. Mm-hmm. They don't really care. They just, mm-hmm. the leaders just step over. And I've been asked to teach Bible studies, I'm sure you would know who, but some well-known mm-hmm. video people with the workbooks, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading that and I'm, no. So then I spend the whole class time saying, why, this can't be true. And I said,
well, no. That really is a struggle, I think, especially in women's ministry that we deal with, is like, okay, we're going to do a conference. Let's get a speaker. You know any progress women's speaker? I'm not ready to answer the phone.
Have that problem too. A lot of really pray for your free grace pastors, because mm-hmm. when they need a vacation, they don't have anybody to call.
Yeah, it's so hard. So we have to just like settle for free grace friendly,
yeah.
and you know, try and steer them away from talking about the gospel, you know, that kind of thing. But I think that's why it's so important for us to know each other. You know, just to connect each other, because even if we're miles apart, you know, when we do events or things like that, you know, oh, do you, maybe you do know somebody that can talk in your church who's comfortable speaking and mm-hmm. and has that gift and wants to share, so that, you know, you can come and get connected with us too and draw on the same resources. I know for, like, Bible study materials too, that's been a struggle of, you know, a lot mm-hmm. of the women's Bible studies have a lot of good content in them, but there are just certain parts you get to and you cringe, you know, it's like, oh, we're missing the point. And so I would love to see more Free Grace Women materials yeah. created.
Life Change by NAB Press. Mm-hmm. We did their Hebrew study, yep. and of course I used Ken Yates' book and brought in those books yes. too, but it was very Free Grace friendly.
Okay, Life Change.
We've done several, we've done Galatians. Through the Life Change, just the books, it's just the Bible.
Yeah.
And put the good commentary to go with it.
I'd be careful about the NAB Press stuff.
I was going to say they should.
I'm a navigator.
Well, those books, what about those Life Change books, though?
I mean, you would know. Well, yeah. I mean, you can go through it and find out.
That's what I'm saying. You just undo that.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I would just be really okay. careful about most. Yeah. Just
there you
just
go.
Yeah. Check it out. Check it out.
I just felt like if they were pretty solid on Hebrews, and sometimes they gave the Free Grace to you along with other positions.
Yeah.
But if, you know, they're pretty right on Hebrews, yeah. then you're mm-hmm. pretty yeah. friendly.
It just seems like there's just so many that. Or the exception, you know, and so I found that just strictly going by just using a Bible,
yes.
and I get flack from it, you know. They say, why can't we use this or that, you know? Well, let's just see what God's Word says,
yeah.
you know. So when you do that, do you create like questions, discussion questions, things like that? What's
I've
your format for actually
I've done it both ways, where I created questions ahead of time. This last time, just because. I was tired and getting older, and I thought, I can't work 2 weeks ahead anymore, like I used to have to do, you know, because you have to have the questions ready a week before or whatever. It would just be, just write down your impressions of what you're reading out of this passage and this passage, and just give them the scripture up front. Even just going to, we just finished a year of the life of David, you know, and who are the main characters? And what, you know, just those really simple questions that you could use the same questions every week practically. And just what does it say? What did you learn from what you read? But just use the Bible, you know. And it has, so, you know, it's just created, you know, some good questions and along the way. And then when their comments stray from the Free Grace, you know, then you bring it, well, let's take a look at the context now there, or does that jive with, you know, who is this book written to? You know, was it written to believers or non-believers? So I think that sticking with that is, you know, kind of teaches them at the same time that this is the way to look at it, you know, not what someone else has said.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, that's kind of what we do at our study. Is right now we're doing Philippians, so it's a short book. And I used to do questions, homework questions for them, which were really just observational type things as they read through. And I thought, I don't have time to do that. And so I'm trying to steer them into getting into the Word themselves. And I've got girls in there who can teach me a whole bunch of stuff. I'm learning so much, and others are like, What does this mean? So it's kind of such a broad group. But so with Philippians, I've encouraged them to read it once a day the whole time we're going through it. And then just to jot down. I give them some ideas of types of observations and they can jot those down mm-hmm. and pray through that. And then as we're going through class, it is a taught class, not a discussion class, but a lot of discussion is involved in including questions there. And then we can steer in the class itself with those. But it's just trying to direct them to be in the Word, even if it's just reading it right now and doing. And so that's kind of how homework or questions or whatever to get them.
So you're teaching the class?
A class that I was in years and years ago, but I still find it helpful. We did precept Bible studies, which are not Free Grace,
right?
But the method is good, and you can use that. and just throw out her commentary.
Observation, just paper, exactly, and it's good.
It's solid.
I've taught books of the Bible that way, and I give every all the ladies a handout with spacing, you know, the whole book of the Bible, like First Peter or something, which I love, and then we go through it and we mark all that together.
Yeah. Hannah did some of her studies straight out of the book after the leader at that time had reviewed it and said, okay, we're okay with this.
Okay.
I wrote a Bible study on Proverbs 3, and it's for women, and it's like a mentorship program, so you get older women to run it alongside younger women. It's kind of like for mature high school, college age, before.
Do we have access to that?
Yeah, you can email it to me, and
I'll email me.
I'll send you.
Okay, what's your email address?
It's Free Grace. Yeah, you can. It's therealsummer@hotmail.com. Our church ran Apples of Gold, which is like it's a mentorship program, but it's for young married moms, which I enjoyed it. It's not specifically Free Grace, but it's a neat program, and I was looking for something that would be geared more toward, it's Hotmail.
Okay, sorry.
More geared toward younger women, because we had a lot of, like, college-age kids at our church. And so I couldn't find anything that was kind of for that niche. So, anyway, it's real in-depth. It's about 6 to 8 weeks. And,
cool.
It's like Apples of Gold in that it's, you know, you match up older women and younger women, but it's instead of an emphasis on cooking, it's an emphasis on life skills. So a friend of mine who's a life coach, she's a social worker for 30 years. She wrote the life skills portion.
Cool.
So it's kind of just...
So we're asking for the Bible study on Proverbs, and what's the other thing?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
That's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's Proverbs 3. So it's like a chapter of the Bible that's just specifically to... Solomon's son, but you could apply that to women also. So how to live life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
My church has been using a structured mentoring thing for this is our fifth year, and you could plug in something like that for the Bible study portion, but it's very structured, and we've really enjoyed it. It's developed by a lady who's a professional counselor at the church where the Duck Dynasty family goes. But there's specific times, each group has older women and younger women, so it's not a one-on-one thing, but we've loved it. And I've had opportunity to share Free Grace there. I go to a cowboy church and it's a melting pot, so there's not, it's hit or miss. And so my husband and I just find opportunities to be clear on the gospel, but it's called Heartfelt Ministries, and you have to be all in because it depends on how many, you just have different groups that meet in homes, and, having people in your home is just a special thing. So there's, but it's like y'all have done with yours, you do questions that are fun, and everybody gets to share, and everybody laughs together, and then there's deeper questions, and everybody gets to share, everybody gets to be heard, and anyway, it's been a real blessing in my church. Yeah,
that's cool. I'm going to pass around this. Don't feel obligated to put down your email, but if you want to subscribe to the Free Grace Women blog, you can just do it on your phone, but if you want to write down your email, I'll type it in for you and stuff. But if you're interested in contributing, we're always looking for new contributors, and we love to have voices of all ages.
You mean writers, not money.
I probably should change that.
And writers still make money.
And this is a all volunteer kind of thing. We have a team of editors, and everyone's just doing because they have a heart for it. So if you do want to write or contribute via writing for the blog, you can take one of these papers, and it kind of just gives you a guide for what we're looking for and submitting process and all that. So that's on the bottom of
I'll pass that around.
Chris, can you tell about your puppet ministry that you mentioned?
Yes. I was, I'm laughing because my sister and I, like, as soon as we were old enough to do puppets, our parents stuck puppets on our hands. Even really before we were old.
Yeah.
Yes. But, I never thought I would use that skill again, but recently it's kind of come back up with, having the video studio. So a couple of people, Sandy and Sarah, have been working on a children's curriculum, because that is another, like, huge missing thing in the free grace movement, if I can call it that, is just resources to use in your children's ministry. The one they're using here, I know every week they're going through it and making changes to it. It's one that is used at the church. My husband's teaching it now, too. So I had the idea of creating a children's curriculum. So part of that is doing... We have some, like, puppet shows to go along with it, and I shouldn't be telling you about this. Sandy should be, because she's been working on that. So, you want to share?
Sure. Well, we've got the first quarter done, which is it goes along with Lucas's book, Eternal Life. So, the first, actually, there's 13 lessons, because there's a month of 5 Sundays, but it goes through... Basically, the book of John, what is it that you believe when you believe in Jesus for everlasting life? And we just go through Jesus' miracles, what he did. And, so that's the first quarter. The next 3 quarters will be discipleship. You can choose to follow Jesus. You can choose to follow your own way. What is a disciple? And just going through followers of Jesus pray, followers of Jesus. And it just goes through that, and that'll be the first year. And then eventually we want to do the Old Testament in 1 year and the New Testament.
Okay, wow.
So, but it includes a written, like a printed portion?
Yes, it would be the large, there's a skit, a large group.
We're totally over, sorry.
And then you can do it, there's a small group you can break up, there's crafts that you can do with the kids, there's a small little, not big crafts, but small little things to read, all reinforcing whatever the lesson is for that day. And it's really getting into the Bible, because so many curriculums are not getting into the Bible.
If you're interested in contributing, because we need people to do nursery and preschool and teen curriculum, come see us at the Free Grace table.
Or if you just want to know more about it, yes. Free Grace International Foods.
I am leaving now, but Amy and Sandy,
my apologies.
It's the bond.
Well, thank you all. Thank you.